I'm Steven.
I'm Chris.
I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm the French-Canadian Sensation.
And we're the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready.
Because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
Let's geek!
Gentlemen, boys, and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, affairs, entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
I'm Shark Taco.
And I'm John a Lobster. The long-awaited sequel to Prometheus comes at you to hug your face. When the crew of the colony ship Covenant lands on an uncharted world, everything goes horribly wrong rather quickly. In prequels, no one can hear you scream.
I like the hug your face. Just look at it. It's okay. It's so okay. Cute. You can look at it.
I swear, it's perfectly safe. He says that like 3 times.
Perfectly safe. I saw the face of the devil. He was in a van and asked me if I wanted some candy.
Perfectly safe, like
perfectly
3 times
safe.
From the
But yes, I will look at your
robot.
Creepy egg. Let me lean in closer. Oh, no.
But you know what? I was thinking of my maybe... future grandchild or some crap like this, and they're gonna watch them in order because someone will not have educated them to start in disorder like Star Wars. Yeah. And that's gonna be their first exposition to an alien egg if you go like in order. So this guy still has a reason to be curious. We haven't seen that before. So
it ruins John Hurt a little bit for me because the whole thing in Alien is the duration of him getting the thing on his face, and then you think he's going to die just from the thing on his face.
And
but then, no, it falls off, and then he's okay, and they're having dinner, and everything's great, and he's telling jokes, and then, uh-oh, what's happening? Is he choking? What's going wrong? They fucking nerfed it in this one where there's like no lag time between
getting oriented.
Hang on. There might have been some.
Four.
There might have been some lag time. I guess not because they were looking for him. So maybe 15 minutes, which is nothing.
Yeah.
The alien that comes out is completely different than what we see
like
in Alien.
Half grown.
It's like it raises its hands to its master.
It does the Rocky pose on the top of the stairs.
There have to be at least another couple.
But to
iterations.
Be fair, I mean, the aliens were never just one model. It evolves through the franchise. It always changes.
And that's the only argument you can make for this one is that this is still Gen 1 Alien.
That's already Gen 2 because the Neo Alien, they're called the Neomorph, they're called.
Neomorph.
The one without a face that becomes a face.
No, the one.
Yeah, which is the one that basically he infected the planet
nostrils,
with.
It will love you forever.
Oh my God! I thought at the end he was going to blow on the monitor at the very end in the ship, and that was going to be the giveaway.
Yeah, that would have been actually good. That would have been well done.
Okay. I don't understand. So you get the Neomorphs from the aerosolized goo, which is apparently what happened.
At the end of Prometheus, you see one of them.
Correct.
It's
but
the Deacon, though.
I read something online, though, that is, okay, Deacon or whatever it is, that is human blood infected with the thing, and then the semen impregnates the thing into her belly, and then it's like it's all screwed up. And then on top of that, the squid that she produces gives birth, or, you know, on top of the blue guy. So that's all screwed up, too. So even if we just follow this way, so now it's aerosoled. Now it creates the little white dudes, which I don't understand why you would go to the xenomorph thing, because the little white dudes gestate in a half hour out of a pollen. Oh, yeah, and way to go to a new fucking planet, and no one sends the android down first to check it out.
Oh, yeah, and no one wears a damn helmet.
In the last one, people were like, you're taking your helmet too fast, you don't know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Right.
In this one, they're like, you know what?
Is
if
there
we
air?
Don't point at it
they're,
at all.
They're basically going out, and they're like, is there air? Yep, smells okay. Let's go.
Oh, wait, I farted. You know...
It, yeah, no. But I like
hey,
the
look,
I like
a bunch of burnt corpses.
Oh yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, and nobody goes. Maybe we shouldn't follow the homicidal robot back to his burnt corpse lair.
Yeah, there's that too. But you know what I like? How the neomorph are born. They go through your back from everywhere they need to get out.
They go from the back instead of the front. That's so original.
From wherever they can. It's just it adapts.
At least
if you have a weakness
somewhere, at least in Dreamcatcher they came out the
it.
Ass.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. I did like the neomorph when she went to like hold him from his seizures and kind of hugged him to stifle him and it stabbed through her hand. Yeah. That was creepy.
Here's my big gripe. Yeah, and this is a Ridley Scott gripe. And this is so Ridley Scott acknowledges three Alien movies: Alien, Prometheus, and Alien Covenant. I don't think he acknowledges Aliens, Alien 3, or Alien Resurrection.
He did recently say that it is canon.
They matter. At least not the story that he's telling now. I don't think he's thinking, oh, I need to get to having an alien queen or such and such a thing. I think that right now he is trying to subvert the trope of the first film. The first film is basically a slasher movie in space, right?
Yeah, in a confined space.
Right. It's Alien. It's Friday the 13th.
It's a haunted house in space.
Basically.
That was the pitch.
Right, you answered my question right there because I'm like, well, where does the alien come from? Or the queen? Is that one of the face huggers at the end? Or
that's a good point because Cameron thing.
Right. So Ridley Scott is trying to subvert the trope and add a philosophical layer to the Alien franchise, right? The last two films are about these philosophical ideas of creation and playing God and all of this. And my gripe with that, I mean, I like that. I don't really like Prometheus as an alien movie. I like it as just a cool kind of sci-fi meditation on basically playing God, right? David goes in and he discovers this toolbox that this progenitor race has left behind, and he starts fiddling around with stuff. I like that, and I like that seems to be where this new trilogy or quadrilogy is going. I think that is interesting to me. What I don't like, and my gripe especially with this one, is they basically do all of the horror movie slasher tropes at once. You've got people going off by themselves, people making stupid decisions, people not following quarantine protocol when they know better, people acting like idiots.
Yeah, it's the Force Awakens of alien movie.
Exactly.
Think about it.
It's like, okay, we'll take one super amazing thing from each film from the franchise, and we'll all like jam it up into one, and like the audience was laughing for us.
Yeah.
Like when he's looking at the guy and telling him to look into the egg, and everyone's just waiting for it. Everyone's like, ha!
I think there's a difference in laughing at it, which is, I think, probably what was happening there, right up until you have characters taking a shower together and the music is so loud that they can't hear the warning.
Like Mother
even
couldn't
though,
turn the music down?
And maybe when Alien came out, like, you had a separate system. You know, the music was coming from the tape deck and not
AI.
Speakers,
I don't know.
But
I think the music's a little far. I mean, they went with, again, if I go greatest hit, the shower scene from Alien 3 was great. They took that. The ending of this movie is basically the ending of Alien and Aliens, where we're going to have a big piece of machinery pushing that thing outside the door.
I do like that in the previous Alien movies, there's always a room full of chains. And there's always like
this one. Yeah,
always like the alien is hunting you or whatever, and then you're in the room full of chains.
But see,
and here you find
so
out what the
this.
Chains are for. They're for holding down those giant machines, right?
But you lost so much of what made Prometheus different and pissed people off. Well, first Prometheus, no one saw the alien at first, so they didn't like that, right? So, we got to give more alien right away, which I get.
This one was branded. They branded this one, and I think that was a studio decision. I don't know.
But
if
they threw everything the title away. Was Paradise Lost, which,
if
you think
Ridley
about
Scott
it, works very well for this movie.
That's a little on the nose, because they actually mention like Milton and things like that.
Didn't they throw everything away? A lot of the fun mythology from the first Prometheus about the engineers and why they're doing what they're doing. And then we show up to a planet which possibly isn't even their home planet. Might be another outpost. None of those people were blue. None of the burnt bodies were tall.
And we don't
so
get to
are
see
these,
them.
But are these even engineers, or are engineers another race that created this race?
To answer your question, you know, because you watched a YouTube clip that they released before the movie.
Exactly.
So you know that because of that. The other answer to that, and I think a lot of...
Actually, you don't know that. You look at it, they look like them, you're not sure
if they're
not,
or they're
not.
They're not big and blue.
They're white, but you're white.
No, but they're white. The architect white.
Beginning of Prometheus, the big white bald dude strips down, drinks the
blue.
Gunk, and then falls into the waterfall.
Yeah,
I thought he was blue.
No,
anyway.
He's like super pale. He's like milky white, dude.
Okay, do we agree they're not the same color as us? So.
Yeah. Correct.
They was the same color in the preview than it was in the last movie.
Right? Okay. They're like powder.
But
I just don't... there's so many fucking potholes of that. Why does David all of a sudden get all fucking shitty and decide to kill everybody?
Okay,
that's it.
I think that's what's lost in this movie for a lot of people, is that it is the continuation of this story, but instead of getting the answer from the creator, you have a creation saying... You don't know who your creator is. I destroy them. I know who my creator is, and I'll be the creator of something else. And I think that's what we're supposed to have as a reflection in that. And we're not supposed to answer the creation of humanity, but what is the point of a creation and a god, and what is the relation between them, and how they can evolve either together or against each other. And I think that's what's interesting.
And I think
with
that's
Walter
all fine.
And David.
I think there's a great movie right there.
Well, hopefully Ridley
don't
Scott
know
didn't
if
fuck
I
up.
Need, I don't necessarily know if I need everything else. I don't know if I need Country Roads, Take Me Home, and the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, that's another thing too. They're scanning out that range of space to find a habitable planet.
They've been scanning there for
10 years. They've been pinging this signal, and they didn't possibly find this planet unless it was cloaked by the engineers or whatever.
Sure.
So you just answered your question? Okay, cool. Yeah, but, a race of people that are really more technologically advanced than us might have created us. Have a shield around their planet. Go figure.
And then Walter or David gets there and kills all of them.
Kills a shield.
And now all of a sudden the planet is perceivable, but they couldn't pick that up on their sensors. Only when you're way out from the ship does it just.
Dude, when
know,
you're
from
in Earth and you're not
weird.
Actually scanning that sector, you're not scanning the galaxy every minute.
I don't think that's necessarily for me the plot hole. The plot
There's
hole for me is when Billy Crudup decides that rather than go to the planet that they've picked out to settle their colony. And keep in mind, they've got, 2,000 people in cryosleep below deck.
Plus 1,100 embryos.
Yeah, and all the embryos and all this stuff. And that's their entire mission, is to go colonize, what was the planet, Origi.
Whatever, after what happened to them at the start, you're not putting me in that.
Colonize it with a single shuttlecraft, may I point out?
Yeah, that's true.
Colonize their stupid planet with their 2,000 people with one shuttlecraft.
Yeah,
whatever.
But and they had like two farming things. So okay, that's another thing. You don't think on a deep space mission they need a shuttle, or they get to this other new planet and right away they send everybody down there.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Just...
The fact that they diverted from their plot line or their plan. I mean, if anything, they should be like, okay, we picked up a distress signal. We will radio that back to headquarters, and they'll have to send someone to investigate.
You know what? That again, you find that a big plot hole for me. I'm reading a book right now where the concept is that people embark on an ark and they basically travel for 600 years. And when they wake up, it's exactly the first scene of this movie. All hell broke loose. People start burning in their pods that for some reason they can't open from the inside and all that crap. If I'm one of the 12, 20 people who woke up, who tried to pry my best friend from one of these tubes while I looked at him getting liquefied by heat, fuck no, I'm not getting back into this.
Hey,
and
I can see that.
I'm going to take a chance with the other planet. And it just happened that I'm the captain now because the captain died. Fuck you all.
Captain now. But James Franco said he was burning up before he went to bed.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you're gonna look
Franco,
it up.
James Franco, big cameo.
You're going to look it up. You're going to at least get to the planet and check it out for more than an hour before you send a bunch of people down to the fucking surface,
that
though, Wing.
Makes no sense at all.
Like, let's all pile in the family bus after we've monitored this planet for maybe 2 hours. While the storms are really bad, let's not see how long the storms last. Let's not fly around in the ship when we break cloud cover and see the big-ass fucking city with nuked-out bodies probably 2 miles in the other direction from the 8 miles you walk to find the, ooh, something big cut the treetops off.
Yeah, well, half of what you said is actually applicable to the first Alien. They receive a signal, and then they have that big conference, decide to go even if they should not, and then they land on that crazy weather, salvage rights and shit like that.
They're talking about making money. These assholes are talking about not getting back into their contracted cryosleep to save 3,000 lives.
Their mission in Alien was to return to Earth with valuable stuff. This mission is to go colonize a new planet, and it's not... Like, the crew is not making the decision just for themselves. Like, they can put it to a vote, but there's 2,000 people below decks
that they also are responsible for. That, to me, was an unacceptable plot hole.
And
I didn't care that much about the movie, Wing.
You don't understand. I like the movie. It's just the more I watch it, some of the creatures get smoothed over, but some of the littler ones, I'm like, oh, my God, what are they doing?
Here's my gripe. And, again, I'm going to probably say that a couple times because... They branded it Alien, but I don't know if they earned the Alien name.
I don't agree. I think this Prometheus did not.
It had
not,
the tension.
But this one...
I will admit, this had the tension of an Alien movie. When they're on the ship, when
The third act, the last act of the film did.
The rest of it, I don't know. The movie is a beautiful transition, though. Think about it.
What?
If you watch Prometheus and this back-to-back... You actually are watching a sequel to Prometheus, and by the end, you're in a prequel to Alien.
No shit.
The style in the movie slightly shift in the second act. And if there's one thing in this movie that I love, is that they got that right. The shift of style in between, so that I can see the link between the sci-fi epic that was Prometheus and the horror space movie that is Alien.
Yeah, but I don't agree, because the same thing happens during... Prometheus. They get infected with the stuff, they come back, and bad shit starts to happen.
Yeah, but it's not the same bad shit, it's not the same
I mean, let's go back to the opening scene of this film. Because in case you were wondering if this was an Alien or a Prometheus sequel, the intro to this spells it out. You see Guy Pearce as a young man.
Finally, not with under 2,000 pound of makeup.
Right.
But that had so much potential to carry the story forward.
And really,
it
reminded me of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh my God.
When they come back with the Christmas tree and it's too tall. So he bought Michelangelo's David, and his solution was, we'll cut a hole in the ceiling. It'll be fine.
Honestly, that to me was such a philosophical metaphor that I didn't care. None of it made sense.
He's got his head in the clouds.
That whole scene was just, it was like a metaphor for something that would happen over years.
It's a metaphor about him thinking of himself as a person, but still having to serve to you when asked. So he has to serve his God. He doesn't have a choice. And the more his God evolves, the more he takes his race in that path. That's why Walter is not a human reproduction. He's a robot.
I got to go back quick to the tension thing, dude. I think right when shit starts going sideways and they're coughing and struggling back to the ship, and then the blonde chick is fighting around and the other woman is in there with the dude who's hemorrhaging out his back.
Yeah.
That tension builds like for 4 or 5 minutes there just constantly. And I'm like, I know what's happening. But, oh, my God.
It makes
Let's
so much
run
sense.
In there and slide. Yeah, but yeah, if you're panicked, but the first rule of owning a gun.
Dude, I'd be panicked. Did you see that guy's spine? What the fuck?
The third rule of a gun, though, is know your target and beyond.
Yeah.
There's a guy in front of you with his spine bursting off. I think you know your target and beyond might be way, way past your mind.
It's like, I don't know that target. What the hell is that target?
What is that target?
If I just ran down the hall, but it means don't shoot shit, Pat. Like, don't shoot at something and not know what's behind it. So don't shoot.
Exploding tanks.
Right. Go take fucking, if you made it to the hangar bay, run the extra 30 yards or 30 feet out the door and shoot it as it comes out the door.
Doesn't create as much tension. You don't have to jump to get outside the door.
No, I know, and I get it. I get it. I'm just nitpicking on some of this.
Did you feel the emotional weight of the, like, everyone's married to each other?
No, I didn't feel it because they cut that 20 minutes of the movie that would have made that important.
So. Only the little bit. Only the couple times when Tennessee was talking to Ferris, I think it was, when that whole panicky scene.
I mean, there's basically three scenes in this movie where someone's spouse dies and they have to, like, come to emotional grips with it. Right?
Well, there's the one where the gay gentleman, those guys, one of the dudes dies, and the other, the guy who has the second neomorph come out. The other guy goes to, like, kiss him goodbye, and that one chick's like, no. He's gone.
Yeah, and it happens really quick. But okay, so we start with James Franco, a toast to the captain.
Oh my god, you're such an asshole.
In his pod, he gets Jiffy popped in his little baked potato jacket there.
And we know the captain's going to be an asshole and is going to die right away because he doesn't want them to say goodbye.
Right. Yeah, What's up with that? Is he religiously opposed to, like, pouring one out for his homie? Like, what's the deal?
Didn't he? Each time I watch it, it looks like he smiles when he sees that they're doing it. And then when his wife comes in, he becomes a hard ass.
Direct order.
You want my gripe of the movie?
I'm Dr.
Manhattan. The thing that bugged me the most was that.
I'm going to get out my blue dong.
I didn't understand why the captain was so important for him to. No. Just put it there. Don't think a word about getting closure or saying goodbye. Don't.
Right.
I'm the captain. I don't get it. It's
and
power
there trip. Was the other one too, where they got to the ground and Walter looks at Daniels and says, "This would be a great place for a cabin." And right away she says, "Oh, Crispy Franco would have loved it." And then douchebag captain comes up and says something like, "This would be a great place. You know, I could see the housing and all that." And right away
he comes up
and
he says, "Well done."
But like, so then she gets mad at him, and it's like everyone has this snarky moment that they don't.
Mr. Pineapple Express over there got himself fully baked.
Oh my god! Okay, stop it, pun machine.
All right, but again, on the third time that somebody's spouse bites the dust and somebody has an emotional moment, and meanwhile. There's something weird going on where, like, none of them have each other's last names, yet they call each other by their last names. It's all weird, except Daniels. Daniels is her first name.
What do you mean nobody has each other's last name? Of course nobody has each other's last name. Why would they?
They're all husband and wife crew.
They're all married.
Oh, that's how it is in the States, honey.
Oh, that's true. We're in Canada here. Welcome to the future, guys. that's how we do it here in the rest of the world.
Even the religious guy.
It's not a question of religion. It's a question of law. You can't change your name when you get married. You just can't.
It's illegal.
So for me, it didn't even went through my mind because it's not in our culture whatsoever.
Well, that's all right. We've seen that Canarnian culture doesn't last. It's American and Chinese or whatever from all the future stuff.
That's my prime minister right now. See which culture is going to disappear first.
David saying, well, so many good souls.
I mean, where was his fucking mustache? To twirl.
And why
while
did
he
his,
was walking around.
While why he was did his hair only grow?
Yeah, his hair grew, but not his armpit? Or...
Can we talk about that whole flute thing?
You mean what shall live down in infamy, the scene where Michael Fassbender fingered himself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a shitty, shitty pun. Like, I'm sure even you'll agree, Lobster.
Yeah.
I'll do the fingering.
It's...
But the whole time, in fairness to this film, I really have to give it credit, because for a movie about creepy fucking aliens and gross body horror stuff that happens, the two creepiest moments in the film are when Michael Fassbender, a handsome man, kisses someone.
Agreed.
True.
Right? When he kisses himself, fucking creepy. And when he's holding down Daniels and kisses her, creepier.
I got a very Wild Bill, like, I do me when he kissed himself. Like, totally.
Buffalo Bill.
Right, Buffalo Bill. Thank you.
I mean, he basically was Buffalo Bill hanging out down there, growing his hair out.
But I have to be honest, I'm really happy that the character hasn't died yet, because everything we're going to say about this movie, my favorite thing is always David. David.
He's amazing.
I don't understand how they burn a strong female character and kill her to bring in another strong female character. I love it. I want more strong female characters.
Two movies in a row. I don't think we're going to see Daniels again. I don't think she's waking up out of that pot.
Didn't she get cut in the editing room?
Yeah, she got cut in the editing room. That's why we saw her again on that YouTube video they released before the movie. Ridley Scott really loved doing that since Prometheus. He did that for Prometheus, where you add the scenes with Guy Pearce when he was young and all that jazz stuff that were cut. We watched it on the DVD last year when we recapped. And then he did that for the Mars thing with The Martian. He did that. You had the video of the Martian prior to the release. It basically was stuff cut from the movie.
Matt Damon's Space Pirate.
Space Pirate, here you go. So I think it's something that he likes. He's like, oh, that's not going to be in the movie. I shot it. Let's put it back there. And I'm going to go on a limb saying that the studio was like, we want the least Prometheus possible, and you're already bringing back a character. We don't want another one.
Well, that's kind of pissing me off, because, I mean, I was looking forward to some questions answered, and they weren't at all. And now all we want to know is, what's David going to do with all these people? Are they going to be able to fight back? And then I'm like, oh, well, if it follows what happened in the former movies, then we're just not going to know. It's going to be another story altogether on another planet with other people, and we'll
what if Walter's still alive?
Vague ideas of perhaps
what
happened.
I think Walter probably is still alive.
What if Walter's still alive? And then,
Walter is dead. We're never going to go back to this planet.
No. We're not going to, but that's fine. What if Walter's still alive? This was not the engineer's homeworld. If it was, they had more than one outpost, right? A ship comes back, grabs Walter, they go after David. Somehow the eggs end up in another ship and it crash lands on LV-426.
That's the action movie we all want that they're never going to give us.
You know what? Okay, let's pitch this. So
get to LV-426?
Wait. Your next movie is Walter stealing one of these horseshoe ships and going after David. Meanwhile, the William Yutani sent another ship for whatever. It's not important.
There's never any meanwhile in Aliens. There's only ever one track, one story from beginning to end, from life to death. There's never any meanwhile.
In the YouTube video you watched before the movie. So at some point, while Walter is actually pursuing David, they get to that ship, so we have people to kill and everything. David finally is able to kill Walter, transfers all his egg in the horseshoe ship.
Does he swallow them again? Does he transfer them by barfing them up?
No.
He was an alien Pez dispenser.
With the Maria alien full he of built grace. From the first one, now we have in the Covenant, now we have a queen in the new horseshoe ship that's in there, and we finished the next movie with this, because he said he had two other movies. And in your fourth movie, you have the engineer coming back to David, and you have the war between the alien and the engineer, and the ship crashing on LV-426.
You know, and I know it's not canon technically, but whatever. If David just created him now, we got to have some time travel in this universe, because 2,000 or 3,000 BC. They've been in a pyramid in the Arctic since then.
Canon. Yeah.
Fight predators.
They got to go back.
Don't think that happened.
Just saying, there's got to be a black hole or something to give Predator. Me some service.
Yeah, I don't think, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I really honestly believe that they're only, that Ridley Scott is only concerned with getting to Alien. He is not thinking about Aliens, Alien v. Predator, anything like that. Basically, this is, he went with the idea that they found the eggs on this ship that belong to some ancient race.
And weren't these eggs way bigger?
He called them the engineers, yeah. And they had them in their cargo bay. So at some point, these eggs have to get in the cargo bay of one of the engineer ships, right?
And smaller, though.
Let's be honest. Weren't these eggs bigger? The movie that the studio refused as a sequel in the 80s. That's a movie.
Oh, no,
Prometheus.
I get it.
Wait a minute, really?
Yeah. They went to Ridley Scott. He proposed basically Prometheus. They said, no, we want the same thing with more. And then they went to a new filmmaker that was proving himself with that little
thing.
Movie
James
called
Cameron
Terminator.
In 2050 is going to finish his Avatar movies, and he's going to go back and
Never
make Aliens. He's going to make Aliens is 2, and then we're going to see that. So he's going to rebut James Franco. Yeah, he's going to rebake him, refried.
I think we're gonna get the next Prometheus because they want to keep the contract with the
and
director, with Ridley Scott,
great,
and then
okay
they might do the Blomkamp thing with Sigourney Weaver. I think that's where we're going now.
What's with the Flare of Salvation? Why did that hurt blind neomorphs? Because the neomorphs didn't have eyes, correct?
We saw an eye cam in the Alien and this one, which bugged me a lot because they're
that
not supposed
so
to have
weird.
Eye. They're not. They all don't have eyes.
No, well, it's not. It wasn't supposed to be an eye. I think it was supposed to be a rendition of what it senses.
To be fair, do it in Alien 3.
They do. Yep.
The presumption
down the hallway.
Oh, that's
the
true.
Presumption is that the xenomorphs move via some form of echolocation.
That's
and
what
they're also
flare,
yeah.
They're also a hot like a hive species, whereas this one it seems like they're more. Just being bred as one-offs, where it just is the thing, you know, just pops out and then does its own thing. One thing that I kind of enjoyed is, although the look of the alien was updated, it moves like the one in the original did, where it's more like a guy in a suit and less like a dog insect.
Well, you know why, though.
Because it's a guy in a suit.
Well, they actually paid a guy in a suit. Then they looked at it. They were like, this looks like shit. So they just put CGI all over him all the time, but they had the reference.
Yeah.
So it worked. That's the best alien we've ever seen.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I thought it was fine. I like it when they're drooling. And the thing comes out of their mouth.
The baby one is
like,
so nice.
I don't like the neomorph, like the look of them. And then when it's just like standing straight up, it just looks weird.
It looks like Slenderman.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the guy they originally cast was like 7 foot something and super skinny. So.
That's a neomorph, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so David is on this planet, and I liked when we saw his like evil lair with all his failed experiments and drawings and
more
things like
that.
Her best friend still gutted on the table who knows when.
What's super creepy about that is evidently a lot of the insects that were pinned up on the walls are real Earth insects.
But that's the idea. They created us, so they probably created all the other crap. That goo in the first Prometheus.
I mean,
there was
wheat, right? Why was there wheat again?
Because again,
probably it was a good food source.
Yeah, to the idea that they created us, but we're missing a part of that story. When that white dude drank the juice and jumped into the waterfall, it became a bunch of different thing. So
drank the juice.
Yeah, the dude, the white dude.
Yeah. He did the do.
Dude.
So I like the backstory with David. I like where they went with David. Name one other character beside Daniels in Tennessee.
David.
Not by the actor's name.
Walter.
David.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, besides David. Those two.
Ferris.
Okay, one of them was named Ferris.
I'm not good with name at start. At starting, so there's a guy with a cowboy hat.
Everybody blended together.
Okay.
I mean,
they're the scientist guy.
You had Danny McBride. You had Dr. Manhattan, Billy Crudup.
Yeah,
Big
that was
Fish,
a captain.
Whatever. I like Billy Crudup. I did not like him in this movie. He's generally so likable and charismatic, but they just like threw a wet blanket on him the entire time.
I'm gonna
Captain Daniels to the ship, unidentified life form.
I'm gonna agree with you. He's a good actor, but in this one, he's miscast and the character is not well written. So that's
I heard another podcast and they called him Silly Crudup because he just does silly things.
I want to see David come back and somehow get into Mother's programming, and that's why that's why she
about this
demands
we
it.
We started recording that one of the big things in the Alien franchise has always been the fact that the computer Mother is very protective of the xenomorphs, and I think at some point David infects the Mother programming
with himself or rewrites it or something,
and that. Could be how, spoilers, David becomes immortal. He becomes a god by infesting the Mother programming that goes out on all of the ships.
I'll be honest with you. At that point, you guys are talking about Mother and Father, the computers, like they're a big thing. But in this one, I think they were more a Mother was a cameo.
They're starting to put her in again.
If you look at Alien and if you look at Ash and Ian Holmes' character, how that character is all about trying to like protect and preserve the xenomorph because that's what Mother wants him to do.
Yeah, but
I think
if
that
I follow
at that
your
point,
your thing,
Mother
Bishop
is
too.
David. Well, Bishop,
yeah, but not all
Bishop
of them.
Breaks his programming.
I see your theory. I'm clicking on it like a Snoke theory on YouTube.
There's always the joke that the new model is better than the old model, right?
Oh.
They do that in this one. They're like, yeah, the old model, like, it really creeped people out.
Anybody's kind of sad that they didn't go with Edward for his name this time or something
right,
like that?
The
first one was called Ash. The second one's called Bishop. The third one was called Call. The fourth one was called David, E, B, C, D. Yep.
Oh,
next one should have been called Edward, not Walter.
E. Walter.
Yeah, sometimes I know it's stupid, but I like these.
I never even realized that ever.
Seriously? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm the only one that bugged. Okay.
I don't know. It was a lot of fun.
Creepy is Michael Fassbender doing two different accents that aren't his own dent.
He made it all worth it, honestly. And I came out of there I had a lot of fun throughout.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, I think that he's the one thing that sticks out as the best.
And
the best
every time he put his...
And he's celebrated by signing a $35 million contract with Fox for more X-Men.
Do it.
Yeah. Every time he put his hoodie on, I was like, yo, Assassin's Creed!
Don't watch that.
Which no one's ever seen.
I've seen it.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah? And?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a movie that was made and released into theaters.
Wow.
It's also, a video game that you can play, which
and
is
that
probably
part is
more,
much better.
More fun. Yeah. I will admit that I had fun. I'm not going to lie.
You've
that...
been shitting on this movie like you're a French guy from Montreal. Come
we're
on.
We're taking your point, this one. We're the Frenchmen this week.
Yeah. I will say that there were multiple plot holes and inconsistencies, some of which hampered my enjoyment of the film. I think I could have enjoyed it a lot more. That being said, I like sci-fi. I like Alien. I like this type of stuff. Here's the thing. I liked it better than Prometheus. However, audiences have not.
Well, you know what? Let's rate it and then look at the Rotten Tomato for those last two.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Do we want to move into our We already kind of talked about ideas for the future. Chekhov's nail, the nail around her neck that she then stabs David.
Yeah, but
David,
that really didn't hurt him in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely ineffectual.
It was. Said, I thought it would be like a hole. I thought that would be the hole I thought that'd be the hole she would tell them apart by. She'd like look at him, be like, "Oh my god."
Oh, that would have been fucking good. Oh,
wow,
why didn't
I came
do
up
that?
With that?
Holy
I don't know.
Shit.
Because nobody recognizes a hole from a nail from a hole from something else. Come on. It's a hole in something that's kind of organic. It, once blood is spewing, white blood is spewing out of it, who cares?
Well, you don't think maybe she would have seen a dab of white fucking ping pong there and been like, hey,
well, at that,
you're not David.
I mean, she stapled
David.
His face back together.
Right.
Did you guys like the callback with the space crane catching the alien?
Oh, yeah.
As the kind of reference to the power loader.
Well, again, that's part of my Force Awakening of this movie. When I was there, I was like, oh, we're doing this again. But this time we're doing it like in an atmosphere instead of doing it in space.
But this time we're doing it about a franchise that I like.
Yeah, there you go. there was a lot of moments like that. Like, oh, they did that in that other movie.
I don't know. Do you think at a certain point that it's... they're doing it because they don't have new ideas, or they're doing it to be cute callbacks, or they're just like, well, this is a lander that's meant for heavy construction. What's on there that they can use?
Okay, you want me to be really honest? And I was not joking earlier. I think this came out 18 months to the T from Force Awakens, and we know that script has been totally rewritten in December and January of 2015 after Lindelof dropped. So... I'm not even joking when I say this is the Force Awakens of aliens. I think that the studio actually ordered that.
They're trying to make the franchise, I don't know, they're trying to set it
Well, I think
they wanted to make this $1 million franchise. $1 billion franchise. It's never going to happen, and they're learning it right now.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said for using the same vocabulary. I think that If you boil the franchise down to its essence, if you distill it to its essence, it is a slasher film in space.
Yeah.
And in space, no one can hear you scream. That was the tagline for the original.
So can we stay in space in the next movie?
Stop fucking with planets.
That's why I think it'd be cool to have your Walter get a ship, or some engineers come back and get Walter, and they go after David.
In
and
space.
Like you said, you got people to die on the ship with the colonists. You can bring back Tennessee and Daniels. You can have a queen alien if you want, which I think would be awesome. That way you could have so many freaking face huggers running around that colony ship. Yeah, it could be great. And then from there, maybe David escapes or reprograms Walter or something on that spare horseshoe ship with a few more eggs or however many it would take to fill it. And they could even leave it like that, because let's be honest, they're not going
to
get two more movies.
But we need
as
to
much as I want to see this.
Yeah, but we need to remember we need one last engineer to crash that last horseshoe ship.
Right. That's what other people are like. Well, David could. Oh, wait, no. Then you'd have to be infected. Well, maybe, you know, Daniels could. Oh, well, that person was huge. That was an engineer, one of the tall ones.
That was
the
armor
ones.
Of the engineer, so she could actually be inside that shit.
Yeah, but I don't think they had stilts in them. The engineers were still pretty big even without their armor.
No, I mean the chair. When you sit in the chair, that old thing close on you. It's like a sarcophagus, if you want. And then you're inside to drive the ship, so... At that point, even a kid could, even a smaller person could be in there.
All right,
that's how
we
David
there.
Drove the thing from Prometheus
first,
Covenant.
Folks. Sarcophagus. Okay, if he flew the thing, how did it crash?
Yeah, he came there and he bombed the planet, and then what? He lost control of the ship and decided to crash it.
They probably fucking shot back.
Yeah,
I don't think they had time.
You think an automated defense?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Once their network crashed, it was like, sorry. Autopilot disengaged.
What was the other big weird circular C shape thing?
That was a duck.
That the horseshoe.
Yeah. That was the spoon. It came up to spoon with that.
Yeah, it's just the duck in
big
space.
Big spoon, little spoon. Cute. Did I say sarcophagus?
Yeah.
I should have said that.
Sarcophagus is an Iron Man armor.
Yeah. All right. 4. Alien Covenant. Are you ready to rate it?
Oh, hell yeah.
So, Wing, for Alien Covenant. Are you going legendary?
Chest-burstingly legendary.
legend of its time.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Cult legend.
Geiger counter.
Awesome.
Mostly good. Mostly.
Entertaining.
I'll do the fingering.
Mayable.
Game over, man. Game over. All right.
Forgettable.
Paxton. Nuke it from orbit.
Abysmal.
Dire Necropolis. Or get away from it, you bitch.
Spring Breakers Highlander.
Alien versus Predator Requiem.
That should totally be permanently in that list of bad movies. Oh, dear God.
that's AVP with meets Dawson's Creek.
AVPR.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
The side of face-hugging.
We all need a little hug.
Oh, yeah. Someday, all I'll you hug. Need is a little Thank hug.
All right, Wing. What's your score?
I'm going to go with mostly good. That was awesome to me. This was the...
Mostly.
After Alien and Aliens, this is my third best in that order. My favorite one is the first one, then the second one, then this. The only thing we need to remember is that the first Alien are Oscar-nominated movies. They are on the top of the top of the list of movies. This was a good Alien movie for me. It just... took everything, like the suspense, the imagery from Alien that I liked, took the character I loved the most from Prometheus, brought it here, gave me some evil mastermind. As I said, I think that's what's been lost on a lot of people. It's what this character represents and all the relationship between creator and creation and that wheel that seems to be going in this movie. All this got me, and the fact that finally I got a proper Alien sequel that is not trying to be something else. At the same time, I've always loved the Alien movies because they were kind of an authoristic view of the same franchise. We're clearly not here anymore anyway, so at this point, getting the greatest hit of Alien movie, I had a great time in theater. This one will never be in the legendary category.
It's
ever.
The Spectre.
But it's really awesome time. So awesome.
Right. Shark Taco.
I am gonna scoot down to David's weird little lair and count my Geigers, definitely. And I'm gonna make this a cult legend because you know what? I think that people who loved this showed up and the whole fandom around it knew that this was coming out, and it may not be very large, but it definitely existed. The guy in front of us in line turned to us and was like, "This is so weird. Don't you think we there should be more people here?" You know? And not necessarily, but the people showed up, and they were waiting in line on the Thursday for the pre-release. And you know what? It was awesome. I had a great time. A coworker asked me the next day, "So how much would you give it out of 10? And I was like, "A 9! I was all about it. I watched YouTube videos the whole next day about it, about theories. It got everything that I wanted from it. The whole greatest hits aspect completely blew me away. I had a great time. It was sexual, which is what Alien was always. It was always like sexual metaphors or birth metaphors and like motherhood metaphors, and it's always been around those weird themes, and it tackles huge questions in cheesy yet horrifying ways, and it finds a way, well, this one found a way to keep me entertained every minute. There you go.
So cult legend or entertaining?
Cult legend.
Okay.
Geiger counter. HR Geiger.
Geiger counter.
Beef.
Oh, shit. All right. I walked out of the theater the first time seeing this, and I was very confused. I was satisfied, but I just didn't know how I felt about it. I liked the movie, but it just, I don't know. Upon further rewatches, it showed me more what I liked about it, but more of the plot holes came through. They missed a lot of the mythology. I really wanted a little bit more mythology. I wanted at least David to speak to the aliens for a couple seconds, but it makes it better that he did it. It makes it more evil. I kind of hate that it's all just, oh my god, the AI did it. AI is bad, because, you know, that's what all fucking sci-fi seems to be. But since there's greater arching tones, and hopefully it might become more, I'm kind of okay with that. The hit on the new Alien design, I don't like how it stood up and praised David right away. But other than that, the new design worked well for me. And the confinement and the suspense when they needed it. And Ferris and Tennessee yelling back and forth. And don't tell me, yell to my wife. And that really freaked me out. Though there were parts in that movie that actually had me going, okay, this is an Alien or Aliens movie. So while it missed on a lot and it hit on a lot, I'm sure over time I will learn to like it a lot more than I do right now. So it's easily mostly good. Mostly. Mm. So awesome. With a side of, you know, face hugger, because face hugging. Lobster.
All right. I'll do the fingering. I think that this was an entertaining movie. It definitely had stuff in there that was crowd pleasing. There were moments of the film that I really enjoyed. I will say that I think that the action was well done. They ratcheted up the tension, I think, in the right places. I think it did suffer a little bit from the Rogue One problem, which was it introduced these characters, told you that they were all a family, and then killed them off in sequential order without you really getting the impact of their deaths. I think that really the only time that I really felt the weight of a character's death was when I watched the video of James Franco climbing the mountain. And then we kind of got to see what he meant to Daniels. Obviously, they were married, but it was, you know, like that really drove it home for me. Like the nail that she put around her neck. I don't think that the rest of the film worked that great on an emotional level, with the exception of what I thought Michael Fassbender brought to the film. I think that the interplay between him and David and seeing the kind of super villainy here and really, like I said, mustache twirling evil that David represented. I mean, there's always kind of the argument of, are the aliens evil or are they just a force of nature? Is it really man versus evil, or is it just man versus a natural force? And I think what the aliens always kind of missed was like a motive, like they just want to eat and reproduce. Right. So David has kind of in becoming, and I'll say it, the mother to the alien race. He's kind of become the super villain retroactively of the entire franchise, which I think is a cool twist. I don't think there were many other cool twists here, but I like that one. So 2 is the score from me.
All right. Well, last word.
Hugs.
I'm going to go with sequel because I want one.
Prequels. Squirrel. Mother.
Sea squirrel?
Helmets. Wear them.
Put the fucking helmets on. You know what? Thing can't hug your face if you're wearing shit. A friggin' helmet.
That's not true. The first alien one.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know what? It can't be absorbed through your ear hole or when you go smoke a doobie in the first 10 minutes of being on a new planet.
Don't smoke a doobie in the first 10 minutes you're on a new planet, yeah. Beef.
Don't scratch and sniff the flowers.
Right.
You're like in Star Trek. You're the one that goes to a new planet with his dog, let the dog shit and go back to his ship. Yeah, okay.
You're right. I probably would, but still, you know, and then if my dog gets eaten, I'll know not to go smoke a doobie out
You would
there.
Let Winnie eat some poor flying creature.
We would get alien Winnies. Yeah. Oh,
that's
my
where
God.
The alien thing would come from. But...
Cute
no,
little
come on.
Aliens.
Psst. Oh, that would be funny.
Beef, what time is it?
News time.
All right. So this is Memorial Day weekend, or I guess we're in the aftermath of Memorial Day weekend here.
And we're talking the worst Memorial Day weekend in movie history since the last 19 years.
It was pretty beautiful out all across the country, though, I think, Memorial Day weekend.
It was rainy here, but...
Sorry.
It was beautiful here.
We have two big releases, two new releases this week. We had Pirates of the Caribbean 5, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Did anyone see that?
Why?
Do you think they'll tell no more tales after this, or is this the continuation? No,
they'll reboot it, I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure they'll reboot it.
And we also had a bunch of cash.
We also had Baywatch, which is a pretty good movie version of the TV series with David Hasselhoff and Pamela Anderson. Let's start with the flop alert. Huh. Womp, womp, womp.
We need a siren.
Yeah, we need a sound, or just like a plopping sound, something, a flushing sound in the toilet. Baywatch, on a $69 million budget before promotion and advertising, and I think they spent a lot on promotion and advertising because those ads were everywhere. Total gross for 5 days, and this is the global. We'll be generous and give them the worldwide gross. So on $69 million, they made $28.5 million.
It didn't open overseas yet, to be honest.
Will it?
But nobody gives a shit.
That's my question.
I'm like, so happy.
Well, wait, hold on.
Do audiences elsewhere get Baywatch?
Like, no, they probably don't get the beach culture, but the only thing I bet it has going in their favor is syndication. Because that shit's been out for a long time.
Well, I mean, David Hasselhoff himself supposedly is big in Germany.
Yeah.
So
the other thing is that what I've heard is that this is the movie with the single most amount of abs that you've never seen. They basically took boobs from the TV show and replaced them with abs. So
Which
some of the guys
a,
have 12. It's crazy. You look at them and you're like, you can't have that many abs. No.
That's something I don't get. Because Baywatch, for as much as David Hasselhoff was the quote-unquote star, we all know that the star was Pamela Anderson.
Boobs.
Yeah, it was boobs.
Slow motion running.
Yeah.
Really.
And they took that, and where's the Pamela Anderson in this? Where is the dude appeal in this one?
It's not. They actually gender bend the same way they did with Ghostbuster. I get that didn't pan
Still
out.
Still dumb.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah, it's a dumb fucking.
I don't know.
It's the worst.
I think if you're,
it's the worst rock movie in his career. So.
Yeah.
But it's also
he's been a fairly reliable box office draw, which is kind of a bummer.
The guy's coming out of the sixth most profitable movie of all time two months ago.
The guy showed everyone that he can sing.
It's true. It's true. So Baywatch again, I think, is domestically. Unless there's by some miracle it performs well in, I don't know what, Australia? I don't know. That's the only other country that I think could approximate the beach culture.
That's a good point. There's a few other ones. People vacation in Spain and all that shit, but still, they're just not as many idiots go hang out at the beach all the time.
And listen, speaking of Alien Covenant, you guys,
oh God.
I'm going to award it our first double flop alert of the season, as I predicted last week.
Aww.
It took a nosedive off of its already somewhat disappointing opening and dropped 70% on its domestic take.
That's
its second weekend of release. And that's not unheard of, but I think when you look at the staying power that, say, Guardians of the Galaxy has had, Alien Covenant dropped from number one at the box office to number four, and that's behind Baywatch's abysmal opening on a holiday weekend.
Yeah, but okay, so, you have to think about a couple of things. Baywatch was still on an opening weekend. Covenant was not benefiting from all the theater they did last week because Pirate and this took a lot of it. But if we're talking about like flop, and I'm going to add something, I don't think we have a double flop alert. I think we have a bomb alert actually this week, because I'm going to call Baywatch a bomb. The studio's going to lose a lot of money. The studio's going to lose a lot of money.
I think you're right. I think a flop is a flop. I don't know. Is a bomb worse than a flop?
A bomb is the studio lost money. A bomb is usually you don't get it. You don't kind of
get it. They're going to take a write down. Just like a couple weeks ago, King Arthur. Oh. They're going to have to write down a lot of that movie.
King Arthur is said to be one of the biggest bomb of all time, beside like Waterworld.
It had a big budget.
$175 million. They made like 60 internationally.
And I will say, going in Alien Covenant's favor is the fact that the budget was only $97 million. But if you look at the 11-day total of Alien Covenant versus the 11-day total domestic of Prometheus, it's at about two-thirds what Prometheus was making at this point in the cycle. And I think for a film that is, you know, the sequel should grow the audience, should grow the take.
All, no.
And for having the fact that Prometheus did not have the Alien franchise name attached. Now, maybe that's an argument that Prometheus actually did better because it didn't have the Alien name on it, and that Alien name is actually a detriment because people are now associating it with crappy sequels like Alien versus Predator Requiem. I don't know.
I think that's the inverse. I think actually Prometheus hurt Covenant, and if they make another one, it's going to do a little bit better because it's going to come out of a movie that people, and that was well reviewed overall.
People who did go to see it, yeah, like us.
The thing is, somewhat. I think we're back in a Alien 3 situation, that when they finish Alien 3, they look at everything and it was, these numbers look like Alien 3 and Aliens beside each other. And what they did, they like, wait a second, we made more than 60% of our box office in Europe, which, if I'm looking at this, I have the number, it's exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And what
again,
did we get?
Worldwide,
we get a, got a French director and a bunch of French stars.
Nope. The worldwide is not bad. I think it's over 100 million.
So I think the next one's going to actually have international stars and is going to be marketed more internationally than locally.
I mean, that is kind of an interesting thing. I mean, they went with, I think, Catherine Waterston and Danny McBride, other than Fassbender, were like the big names in this. I don't know. And did anyone know who Catherine Waterston was before this?
No.
Who is that?
Danny, the main girl.
Okay.
The last thing
so
I saw.
Be a no,
her,
then.
The last thing I saw her in was Fantastic Beasts, but.
But if you look
at right.
Oh, wow.
The
tomato meter was better for Prometheus than Alien Covenant?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
A 10% or a 2%.
Yeah. I mean, still, it's whatever. Apples and oranges, tomatoes. But, I'm saying that this one might be, if you're just looking at the numbers, a bit of a letdown. Not maybe damning totally, but speaking of movies that didn't do fantastic at the box office but might squeak a sequel based on some interesting sales numbers, Power Rangers 2. There's a rumor that because the toy sales sold so well, there's now momentum for actually making a sequel, because
it's the first time in history that another franchise beat Star Wars in toy sales.
Yeah. Yeah,
they made $1 billion from April 2016 to April 2017 in toy-related Power Ranger product.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And no lie, the toys weren't that great. I looked at them.
Yeah, they were kind of. They were selling that big robot $200, and it's in little flimsy plastic. So.
Yeah, not that great, but. Still, I mean, that's something that I would be interested to see. I think, as we discussed, we all kind of enjoyed Power Rangers. So I think if they did go ahead with a sequel, based on that motivation, they could kind of do what we all kind of argued, which was pare it down a little bit and tell a more grounded story. And, you know, you still got to get the toys in there, but You have all the new Zords, and that sells you new toys for you.
You want another?
Keep making it queer friendly.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But you want another?
I heard a Becky G song on the radio the other day. I was like, "Is this Becky G from Power Rangers singing with Pitbull?" And it was.
Yeah.
Wow. But another toy related news that was kind of interesting that they found: they did not produce enough Wonder Woman toys based on research, only based on girls, and they discovered that little boys buy action figure.
I want to buy some.
What? Yeah. What the hell? So Wonder Woman toys right now are out of stocks.
Yeah.
Because the movie is not even released and is already doing freaking well.
So let's transition to our next thing. And we're not going to really talk about the film in any detail because none of us have seen it yet and we all want to go see it. It is sitting at 95% fresh right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
94 right now.
94.
It was 97 earlier today, so I take that all with a grain of salt. It is the first DCEU film to be certified fresh, and the first, and I should say the highest scoring film on Rotten Tomatoes in the DC canon since The Dark Knight over 10 years ago.
I'm excited to see this. I really am. She just looks like she's, A, having a good time. There's a really cool little video snippet I put on. It's like 13 minutes of behind the scenes stuff, but she looks like she really took the time to own it.
I got to be honest, in the massive movie market of Lebanon, I think they can afford to miss that one.
It's a $4.
Listen, I'm super excited for this one. We are putting it tomorrow, Wonder Woman.
We're talking about it next week, yeah?
We're talking about it soon.
Anyone who's a fan needs to go the first weekend. We have to support women in Hollywood. Yeah.
Can
female
you believe
directors, that... female leads, well-written female leads. I mean, have you seen Claire from House of Cards?
Oh, my
I've
God.
I've only seen a tiny little clip of her, like, jumping in the air and, like, just landing a sick move, and it gave me goosebumps. My hair was standing
gonna
on my neck.
It's going to be... I hope it's going to be awesome. Or I'm going to be
French.
I
think it's going
to
be great.
The thing I could not believe, and I had to research because I was like, no way that statistic is true. This is the follow-up to Monster of that director. She won an Oscar and proceeded to not land the job for 14 years.
The director of Winter's Bone has still not done another film.
What the F? Take these directors and give them these franchises.
That is being a woman in Hollywood. Meanwhile, Hollywood Reporter just ran with a story that said that handing the reins of a big-budget franchise over to an independent director is a gamble. They characterized giving it to Patty Jenkins as a gamble because she'd only done independent films. Meanwhile, we've had guys like Colin Trevorrow and Ryan Johnson and a whole bunch of these indie film directors are given the keys to blockbuster franchises. Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah,
right?
Our favorite one.
Hello?
Wow, you pulled that up.
Yeah, you pulled that up pretty good. You're not like Denis Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
I've listened to you say it like more than once.
You say something like Confifi and you're okay.
Yeah.
Confifi.
Confifi. It's Confifi. Confifi. I just think it's all... I'm excited. Again, support Wonder Woman. Let's talk about something that is near and dear to me. And I don't think we've really unpacked this too much on the podcast yet. The full trailer came out 2 weeks ago, and I don't think we ever unpacked it. Star Trek Discovery.
Do we have to talk about that trailer?
Okay.
I actually kind of got excited when I saw the trailer, and I don't even like Star Trek.
Let's talk about... do we think that this is a good move? Do we think it's a bad move? Is this the direction you want, the direction you don't want? Obviously, it's on their CBS All Access pay platform, not on broadcast.
Oh, it's on Netflix here. Everywhere around the world, it's on Netflix.
Everywhere in the world, it's going to be on Netflix, except in the United States. We're going to have to pay an extra $6.99 or something a month to get it. What do you think about Star Trek Discovery?
I don't like the timeline they choose. I don't like the character they choose. I don't like the style that they had. I felt like I was looking some next generation stuff, and I'm in 2017. That's been 30 years. Give me Star Trek a new version of Star Trek or something. This looked like they're painting themselves in the same corner they did with Enterprise. And by the time they paint themselves off, nobody was watching anymore when the show was good.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to happen with this. Double the fact that most Americans are going to have to pay an extra for this, so are going to download it for free online on the dark web. This is a failure in the making.
I know what you're talking about.
The dark web.
You can find that on the regular web wing.
Yeah. I think it'll be out there.
I really don't usually care about Star Trek, but I saw the trailer for this and I got excited. It was fun to see some female faces kicking ass and some new aliens or revamping of aliens. And I don't know. I'll give it a handful of episodes. I will probably be in the wing camp and try to go find it on the dark web or whatever he just said, because, you know, I'm not paying $6 a month for it.
Get Mother to download it for you.
Right. I mean, $6 a month for one show is a bit steep. I wouldn't even pay that. I wouldn't even pay.
But you can watch the Good Wife spinoff.
Right. Do they eat each other? No. Oh, that sounded bad. I meant like zombies.
They do the fingering. We'll put it that way.
Oh my God.
I think this is still going off of what Brian Fuller had done. I don't know. Remember, Brian Fuller has since left the show, and I don't know if it will be. I don't know what the rest of Discovery will be like, if it will be anything like this or not. The other thing that I've kind of heard is that CBS is testing the waters, and Discovery might not be they might not be looking at a multi-season arc. For Discovery, it might just be kind of one season and done, as they have done with American Horror Story and things like that.
This is going to end up like a one-season embargo. On YouTube in little pieces like Chrome and Blood at this point.
Yeah. I will say that Blood I thought...
Do you remember Galactica, Chrome and Blood? It was supposed to be...
Blood and Chrome.
I thought that the trailer looked good. I had to turn off the part of my brain that is... Like this is only 10 years before the original series. So where are all the neon pastel outfits and the slidey doors and things like that? And
they got very low tech
in a hurry. Yeah.
Very low cut line.
I do think that the visual cues are kind of fun, the way that they're sort of blending the visual cues from the Abrams films and coming up with something new. I thought it all looked fine, and I liked the idea of a species that is genetically determined to sense the coming of death. I want to know why they don't put those aliens on these colony missions so they don't land on alien-infested planets, xenomorph-infested planets.
You see, you heard that, and you were like, oh, I'm curious about it. And I heard that, and I've heard like
Akuchi Moya. We are far from the bones of our ancestors. Yeah. The Chakotay Vision Quest thing.
Vision Quest. There you go.
Anyway, I think the cast looks good. The cast has some fun people in it. It's got James Frain, Jason Isaacs, Michelle Yeoh, Sonequa Martin-Green. What's his name from? What's the guy? The guy's name? Doug Jones. Doug Jones. He's always in makeup.
What the movie with the superhero that comes
from
hell?
Hellboy. There you go. He's in Hellboy.
He's a blue guy in Hellboy.
Unfortunately, as we mentioned, there are some people out there that don't like the idea of diversity in a Star Trek series.
Oh my God. There's a word people out there that actually got out of their home to say, like, there's no black stormtrooper. And you know what I say to these people?
What?
All these people? Oh, yeah, that was a big thing. There was a black stormtrooper.
Yeah. And now there's an anti-backlash. Of course, George Takei has weighed in.
Of course he did.
And defended Star Trek's honor. I think that this looks interesting. They haven't yet earned my whatever money it would take to actually watch it legally. We'll see if subsequent stuff. Allegedly, they're going to show the first episode on broadcast television.
Well, yeah, that's what drug dealers do. They always give you the first taste
for free.
The
first one's free. After that.
Yeah, we know people like that.
Let me quick interjaculate before I forget here. Did you guys see that a new cut of Spider-Man 3 popped online for like a day or two and then disappeared?
Because they made a mistake. What? It's part of a box set. Sony is re-editing the box set of the original 3 Spider-Man, and they actually got an editor to re-edit the movie based on the stuff that they had. He's still an emo.
They took out Jar Jar Binks?
Yeah, something like that.
I think that's the wrong franchise, but yes, too.
He's still an emo, he's still dancing and all that jazz, but the rest of the movie is actually cut way differently, so that gives you a better insight into the Sandman story and gives way less space to Venom.
Even less space to Venom.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of Crispy James Franco.
Crispy James Franco.
Spider-Man 3, we get Crispy James Franco in that
one,
too.
That's true. Half his face is crispy in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Do you think that arm in the 120 28 hours is crispy at this point. Must be been cooking there.
I think it's dry. It's in the desert, so it's like dried out, like beef jerky.
I believe some eagle found that.
We have some crispy Franco all around the place.
Oof. Get a bucket of original recipe. Was that just excess? A bucket of original recipe, crispy James Franco.
Mm. Was that just excess, what you call it there?
What's that?
Footage from 128 hours or whatever.
Oh, when he's climbing. Yeah. I like when they're on the you see the guy in the background like start to slip off. You're like, oh shit. Even in the frickin' interstitial flashback video, people are dying from doing stupid things.
Then that dude's all like, the new captain's like, I'm not free climbing here. I'm doing everything with the best knowledge. It's like, her husband just died 2 hours ago, prick.
Her rock climbing husband just died. Oh, come on, Billy Crudup. All right. So let's head out.
What is next time? What are we doing?
Well, we're talking about Wonder Woman, and we also are planning a Roger Moore memorial to one of our favorite James Bonds.
This has been episode 327 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, wear your frickin' helmets, people.
I'm John D. singing in space like there's nobody to hear me.
I'm Shark Taco and I'll do the fingering.
I'm John a Lobster saying, you've seen what I can do with this flute that I made myself. Let me show you what I can do with the bagpipes.
Oh, dear God. I forgot that one.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com, where you'll find all our contact information as well as our other shows. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legends Stream Canada or Gunna Geek Networks. No infringement is intended, and no infringements are intended.